Pod Tackler, the unofficial Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast presents episode 880, The Silver Halo, recorded live on April 25th, 2024. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I'm your other co-host, Godzilla T.
And hey, guess what? Dust is caught up on almost everything. Caught up on news. Done with another book. Done with the Halo TV series, season 2. Just dropping things left and right. No one responded to my comment in Discord about, no, Spark, don't do it. I was hoping someone would.
I saw it, and it took me a minute to figure out what the hell you were talking about.
It was like chapter 40 or something like that.
Yeah.
Not all the way caught up. I still have...
He's still got books? Five books to do? Four books to do?
Four books? I think four.
Yeah, four books.
I'm going to check the list. I just finished Point of Light a couple of weeks ago, and I'm on to Divine Wind. Is that what it is? It's the one with the ferrets when they go to the Ark.
Yeah, that's Divine Wind.
Yeah, so that's what I'm on now.
So, you still have to do Rubicon, Outcast, and Epitaph.
And what movie list? I mean, I've watched all the Halo movies. I'm not sure what list you're talking about, cosplay. Anyways, we were off a couple of weeks for the podcast. Last week, I did some Halo 2 under 3 hour legendary achievement work or progress. Tried it on the Great Journey and did not get some good luck of the draws on the last part with Tartarus. So had a lot of dead runs, but a lot of practice on that run for when I actually try to get the time reduced down. But
you trying to get the Banshees in there?
Not the Banshee, the Spectre. To get the Johnsons.
You're getting the Johnson glitch? Okay.
Mm-hmm. But there were several times that RNG just did not work in my favor.
Yeah. I haven't been able to get the Spectre glitch to work. I don't have the good timing.
Yeah, the key is to, like, as the nose of the Spectre goes down and the lid that comes down is over the edge, like, so like the lid is where the vertical part is over the edge, that's when you kind of jump down. So you should always be seeing the Spectre in your view, but by the time the white starts to come in, and if you do that, then you're good. I've managed to knock off 3 hours, because when I started, it was about 9 hours 40. Actually, before then, it was 11 hours. And I'm down to about 6 hours 40 minutes. I can definitely shave off another hour for the Great Journey.
Yeah.
So I'll be down to 5:45-ish. And then it's just whittling away at some of the other ones. So I'm trying to get all the levels more than an hour under, and then try to chip away at the rest of them. But I managed to get Quarantine and one of the other Arbiter missions done and shaved off about 2 hours worth there. So, well on my way to trying to get the under 3 hour achievement for Halo 2 Legendary, because I still need to figure out how I'm going to approach Lazo. If I'm going to do it co-op or if I'm going to try to do it solo. So,
good luck with that.
Thanks. So that was last Thursday when I attempted that, and then throughout this week I haven't been streaming it all the time, but been slowly working on that. Granted, some of the other maps were, or other missions were, easier to do, and nice thing about it too is you can pause, save and quit, and come back in, and it keeps the timestamp of the last checkpoint, so it doesn't tick up from the respawning, and you can actually get the time down that way.
Ah.
Yeah. It helped.
The old save and quit.
Yes.
Strat.
The old save and quit. That works wonders for getting those achievements. But yeah. How did Frag and Friday go for the last couple of weeks?
It went real well. We've been playing, starting out in some Grunt Apocalypse. And then we've been winding up actually in Big Team Battle, having a little bit of luck. Last week we had, we were having a lot of fun. And unfortunately, at about the time Dust showed up.
Yeah.
But no, we've been having a lot of fun.
Good.
If you guys want to join in, just shoot me a message on Xbox Live every Friday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and I'll get you invited in.
Very good. Wife and I have been watching Fallout, so Friday nights have been one of our nights to watch the Fallout series. It's really good.
Traitor. Oh.
There's a lot of comments been going around about, hey, Fallout used fans and actually source material to make their series. It's yeah.
Well, I couldn't tell you either way because I haven't followed the Fallout series. So to me, to a guy that has never touched it, what do I care? And who it's are they marketing the whole- this? Who are they marketing this to?
I mean, they're marketing it to
the TV series, the Halo TV series.
Oh, well.
They're not marketing it to the Halo fans. They want people to watch it. Lots of people. And there's lots of people that don't know anything about Halo.
To people's credits, there's definitely a trend that video game adaptations have finally gotten to a point where the stories and the worlds that have been made in them, just if they're as is, people will flock to them if they're into that kind of genre. So I get where fans are frustrated. At the same time, what the Halo TV series is what the Halo TV series is. There's not going to be another one. So everyone complaining that, hey, we need a Halo TV series. Guess what? You got one. No, it's not in line with how all the other successful video game adaptation series are, but it's still successful. It still brings in the numbers. Y'all are watching it.
I watched it.
If it was really bad, I enjoyed it. Then yeah. So I get the frustrations. I'm kind of there as far as it kind of is a little bit of a pain to see that there could have been a Halo story that was in line and fit into the game lore, just proving that there are video game adaptations of series that do that, do a separate storyline, like do their own thing and do it well, where it adapts into the video game lore. The challenge with Halo is they're trying to market Master Chief, and without tying that into either a book or another completely separate story, I think they kind of did what they had to do of telling a similar story. So it kind of is what it is, unfortunately.
Honestly, compared to what they did with the animated series Fall of Reach to Halo the TV series, they did a lot better on the TV series. Because the animated series that retold the Fall of Reach was a butcher job. They were retelling a story that already existed, and they screwed it up. Don't know whose decision it was. Don't know who had the final word on the script. Don't care. But from what they did to that and what they're doing with the Halo TV series, it's 100% improvement. Yeah. Was I disappointed in the sex scene? Yeah. But it's showtime. You know, they're only one little tick above Cinemax. Sorry. Give me a minute. I got to change a battery.
Okay. Anyways. Did finish season 2, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. We do have some more Halo Infinite content that's coming, finally. Yappening is coming to a conclusion, and we have a new Banished theme season coming next week. With that, there are plenty of adjustments coming to content update number 32. The plasma pistol is going to get its EMP back. Sidekick is going to be firing a little bit slower. Cinder Shot it's going to be firing a bit slower, and the kind of little gravity pull effect for the center shot's been taken out. The sniper has had a little bit of reticle adjustment, tweaks to the gravity hammer and spike grenade. There's also a refresh to BTB. 5 new maps are going to be coming into the playlist.
Nice. It'd
be nice to kind of get that little bit of a refresh. And something that Grunt API, who's a Twitter, that's the Twitter handle, found in the latest Halo Infinite API data calls.
Nice. So
sounds like Assault's going to be coming soon. They're probably getting it tested and ready to go into, I don't know if it's going to be coming with this content update as a surprise feature or if it's going to be coming later in this content update, but looks like Assault's coming soon. We've got a new map, Corrosion, that's has a 24/7 playlist, and there's also a new HCS map. I'm blanking on the name of it at the moment, but it is a remake of the Rig that has been included into the ranked playlist in Halo Infinite. I'm trying to go see if I can find the map name, unless someone has it real quick. The spike nade is similar to Halo 3. I think they're doing some more tweaks on it. And yes, they reduced the kill range of the gravity hammer a little bit. The remake of the Rig is called Interference, and it is polar opposite, quite literally, going from a kind of a desert mining rig to a frozen tundra rig.
I wonder if they have the worm in the background.
I don't know. I haven't gone and actually played the map. I saw plenty of pros streaming it on Twitch over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But it looks like the rig layout really well. It looks like most of the pros are enjoying it at this point. So look forward to that coming up in some of the HCS events and other competitive Halo events coming soon. Yeah. What else do we got? I think that those are the big things. Map updates, content updates rolling out. 343 had a community stream yesterday, which they showcased some new changes coming to the customizable and unlock system. They're implementing a Spartan point-like system in Halo Infinite, so you'll be able to actually earn Spartan points in battle passes and by completing games, and then use those Spartan points to unlock customizable items. It's not a complete replacement of the shop. There is still the credit system that's going to be living in tandem with the Spartan point system, but steps in the right direction, I think, as far as we're concerned. What else? I think that's most of the stuff from the updates today, or at least this week. We have a couple of other things that have come out. There's a Forge features that came out last week, so brand new Forge community maps that are being probably rotated into some playlists. Boulevard, which is a turf remake, looks really cool. I've seen that one, I think, on a couple of different Forge features across social media. There's another one called Habitat, Fling Yaps, which is all Grunt involved. It looks like a fun little custom. And several other, thankfully, more unique new map styles. Not that the remakes aren't fun, but it's nice to see some new unique maps. There's a community spotlight a couple of weeks ago as well in a new community corner with Ethereal EOD, which we've seen plenty of their work through some of the content that we've covered previously on the podcast. So great one to be featured there. And then the first international HCS event, HCS London, tickets are available for purchase, hosted by Quadrant. This is going to be taking place May 31st through June 2nd with a $250,000 prize pool in London. So there you go. I think that covers most of the news, at least the official Halo news for the most part. On to the TV show, our main topic for tonight. So I did finish the series, and again, for those that are listening, we're not going to go do a detailed breakdown of the lore and the story and how it fits into the game, how it doesn't fit into the game. We're just going to talk about our overall reactions of the series and what we liked from it, what we didn't like about it, what we thought was cool or maybe overdone, underdone, and just overall how we felt about season two of the TV show. You want to open up with anything, GT?
I was concerned with the start of the series that they were just going to drop Quan Ha's story, period. I'm glad they continued it. They continued it in a unique way. It is, I'm looking forward to seeing more of her story too, to see where they take it, because there've been some pretty heavily implication as to who she is or what she is. And I'm kind of curious to see which direction they're going to take it. Also, the flood. I mean,
yeah. saw the flood coming, although I was not expecting it to be on Onyx, because it's not anywhere related to Onyx in the books.
No, it's not. But, you know, the other thing is they're compressing stories.
Yeah, they're doing something.
That I do have a problem with. Not the story itself, the fact that they're not spending a whole lot of time in one place. It's like they're trying to tell the entire history of Halo in 8 episodes.
Well, it feels like they're trying to course correct a lot.
Yeah.
Because of the hardcore fan backlash on the first season and everyone complaining about how all the other video game adaptations recently are sticking to source material, and it seems like they're kind of playing catch up to align everything that they worked on in season one back to mainline story as much as they can. And I feel like that kind of rushed them a bit to introduce certain story beats.
Yeah. Honestly, I would have just preferred them to stick to their guns and continue telling the story they were going to tell. No, nothing against the Halo fandom and the lore nerds, but you as a segment of the Halo community, I think actually hurt the development of season two.
I think people agree and disagree with that.
Well, I really don't care, because it's my opinion. Anyway, I understand 343 wanting to react to feedback about the games. Stuff like that, that's okay. When you're talking a TV show, then people are going to bring up Fallout. Okay, whatever. I don't know Fallout, so I couldn't tell you if it's lore accurate or not. I've never played any of the Fallout series. I've never read any of the extended material on it. So I am not an expert on that at all. I never got into the Fallout series. What they were doing with Halo, granted, it had its cringe moments, but I wasn't upset that they were telling a different story and just hinting to the established canon. That was fine with me. I didn't want a retelling of existing stories. You know, if they were going to do that, then just do a Halo movie. Take one of the Halo books, turn it into a movie. Or take one of the Halo games, turn it into a movie. I didn't want them to retell a story I've already heard 100 times. I wanted a new story. And that's what I wanted out of the TV show. I didn't want to relive stuff that I've already done. I wanted new content. That's why I love books. Well, Halo books. Because when they come out, there's new content to the story. There's new characters, new places. Or you might even be the same character, but you see them from a different point. When Dust ever gets to Epitaph, we'll have some things to discuss. I mean, the direction that they took Epitaph, just for an example, made me look at a character a really different way. But anyway, without spoiling it for Dust. So everybody keep quiet. Don't screw it up for you. Anyway, so when they announced the Halo TV show, I was expecting to have some story beats be similar, like characters, but I wanted a new story. I didn't want something rehashed that's already been out there. in a TV series.
Yeah. The challenge Halo has is the recognizable or iconic parts is obviously Master Chief and the Halo ring.
Right.
All these other video game adaptations, either they're retelling the story of the games or they're telling a completely separate story that can coexist within the universe. And that's a hard decision to make with Halo. And it's like, okay, if you're trying to tell the story of Master Chief and Halo, that story exists out there already in book format and game format. And if you're going to tell that story, you're basically, you either have to stick exactly to that story and make it match, or you're going to have to stick with a new story that involves another Halo ring that doesn't tie into any narrative or some other side story with Master Chief that doesn't involve a Halo.
Yeah.
Or some other part of the UNSC. So it's, I get the conundrum that 343 is in, where if they're trying to make a Halo TV show, and the two things that they're really trying to focus on are Master Chief as a main character and the Halo ring, you're pretty limited on what exactly you can write the story about. So their choice to do a silver timeline, to do a like story using similar characters and ideas, environments, iconography, and make a separate story, I get why they made that decision. I also get why a lot of the community is upset seeing the success of some of the other games out there. And there's a lot of people out there that have come up with really good ideas of how 343 could have done it. They did decide to do it that way. The other powers that be decided not to do that way.
Nothing against these people and their ideas. A, you're not a TV producer. B, you're not the one paying the bill. There are external forces in making a TV series. In this instance, from what I've seen so far, 343 provided Showtime the material. These are the characters. This is the scenery. Make a story. Now, 343 probably had yay or nay on what the story actually told, but Showtime had a budget to start this brand new IP. So they had to do all the character development because not everybody's seen Halo. Not everybody's played Halo. Not everybody's watching this TV show has played Halo. So, you know, you got Showtime and Paramount having to pick up the tab for developing this new IP in a new genre. So they have to come up with all the effects. They have to come up with all the costume design. They have to come up with all the actors. They have to get the script wrote and approved through 343. But 343 doesn't have sole, they don't have carte blanche over the script itself. 343 is just kind of directing the story. Obviously, because of certain scenes in the first season. I honestly think they've done a very good job with the Halo TV series. Do I have complaints about it? Oh, yes. I have complaints about pretty much every TV show I ever watch because it looks stupid, but it doesn't affect how I enjoy watching the series. And that's the biggest thing people need to do. Just watch series and enjoy it. Don't be a critic about it because nobody likes a critic.
The whole diehard Halo fan base is critical.
Well, the diehard Halo fan base needs to freaking grow up. I am 53 years old. I am a stubborn old son of a buck, and I can live with it. And Halo is the only story I've ever gotten this into.
Yeah, I get it. At the same time. I get where people are coming from and passions and like you.
I get where they're coming from too, but to be the way they are,
it's okay. I mean, people are gonna.
It's fine. You know, voice your opinions. I don't have a problem with it. Hell, I just voiced mine. But the things that get me is people that have no idea how the system works, telling 343 or Bungie. Or Blizzard, or anybody, how they could do it better. You have no idea what it takes to do that. Unless you're in that particular industry and you are part of that industry, you have no idea what it takes to do what they do.
I think there's a technicality, sure, but if people are cinephiles and are like really diving into story and whatnot, they get a sense of what to look for, how stories can be done. So, like, yeah, maybe they don't have the technical acumen of how to make a TV show from production to costuming and all that stuff. And this another thing too with the Halo TV series is this has been in the works since 2012, and the story that they had to develop was in a time that video game adaptations still weren't successful yet.
Yeah.
There's only one other successful adaptation, and I think it was Did The Last of Us come out before or after the Halo TV show?
Before.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, they took the risk of making it to the source material, and it was successful. At the time, Halo was going a different direction because it was they were playing the safe card a little bit, and probably another, who knows if it's another case of Microsoft interfering with what 343 wanted to do, and 343 is trying to maybe make it more to the source material. Microsoft's like, no, but we don't know. So I get where 343 had to make a decision, and the decision they made is, and with Showtime and Paramount is the one that, fortunately or unfortunately, we're stuck with. Now, as Halo fans, we can choose whether to be annoyed by it, give feedback on it, not watch it, and voice our opinions that way. I think for a good majority of the fans that are disappointed in it, that we didn't get a TV show that was more in line with the games than the books, I get where the frustration is. And there have been numerous conversations of people recommending how they could have done it better. Probably could be. Some ideas are probably more sound than others. But we're at a point where we have a show. We actually have a show, which is a miracle in of itself, given the timeline it's been for people wanting a show and or a movie of any kind, and us actually having one.
A live action Halo something.
Right. Is it what we want? For the most part, no. Is it good entertainment by itself? Yes. In conjunction with the Halo lore? Maybe not. That's okay. If that really bugs you, then don't watch it.
Well, you know, I can say one thing. Go ahead and voice your opinion. That's fine. But keep in mind that they are watching. And then they can make one of two decisions. Continue what they're going with, or just stop the project altogether. And if there's enough complaints out there, instead of spending more money on it, they're going to just stop the project. Just keep that in mind when you're voicing your opinions of the TV show.
And 343 is the curators of the Halo franchise.
So
they have the official on what is the TV show and what's not. So it's not a matter of, hey, we need a TV show. Guess what? There already is one. There are plenty of fans that make fan movies out there. If they make something that you think is more of a Halo show or a Halo movie or whatever than 343, then go watch it and share the word about those things. We've had more shots on to talk about their ODST fan film that they're making. It's I get where the frustrations are coming from. At the same time, I need to find out where mine is. At the same time, The Halo series we have is the Halo series we have.
I hadn't actually showed these on stream yet, so I've had them for a while, and I apologize to them for not getting them on the stream sooner. But by the way, guys, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we need to get them back on. That they've been, or at least more shots have been posting some more like armor shots. I still think they haven't. They're still in post production, or maybe they're still in principal photography. I'm not sure yet at this point. I need to go and check, but they're still posting armor pics of what they've been using in their fan film.
So back to the story.
But yeah, back to the actual content of season two. I thought the flood on Onyx was a bit of an overstep. Like, you could have stuck that as like like a post credit scene on the last episode of a Flood file or something like that. I wasn't too. Oh, Helljumper. It wasn't called Helljumper. It was something else cosplay, I think. I don't know why they did this, but there's the whole scene with Halsey and Miranda and Quan in the called the basement of the Oni facility in Onyx, and they found the Forerunner. It looks like it was the same kind of warships from Halo Wars, Forerunner shipyard city whatever under Onyx. And then, like, okay, Flood outbreak. So now everything is shifted attention to Flood. It's like, why push both of those in there at the same time? And I think that kind of goes off of what you were saying, that they just tried to cram so much into it.
Yeah. Like I said, they're trying to compress the stories a little too much. As far as the Flood being on Onyx, we don't know that it wasn't there already. Just because the books never said it was there doesn't mean it wasn't in one of the labs.
I mean, as the book and game lore, it's pretty much they were isolated.
They always focused on the Forerunner side of Onyx. They didn't focus. Well, they focused on the Forerunner architecture, the shield world, but they never really delved into exploring it. They were just trying to survive it. So.
Yeah, but being a shield world, that you wouldn't have.
It is established in Forerunner lore that they had multiple research facilities that had Flood specimens. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Which is probably what they're shoehorning Onyx to be for the sake of the TV.
Which, show. I mean, like I said, it's possible. The fact that they brought the Flood in this quickly, that's where I'm getting the rushed feeling. I would have much rather save the Flood for after they find the ring, or find the Flood on the ring.
I was hoping they would have done that instead. Yeah. I would have preferred that.
But, I mean, that's the way they chose to go, and Halsey got what she deserved for Flood spore in her head. And so did Perrin-Gosky.
Well, yeah, Perrin-Gosky is gone, which is interesting. They're obviously going to do something with Halsey.
Oh, of course.
Since Miranda put her in a cryo chamber. Did we have Johnson in the first season?
Yes.
What happened to Johnson? I don't remember.
You mean you don't remember his speech? Oh, no, that was... Never mind.
That was Keyes.
That was Keyes I was thinking of. No, I don't remember Johnson in the first season.
So do we get a Johnson moment in season 3? And they are able to extract whatever prevents Johnson from getting infected by the Flood and inject that into Halsey and keep Halsey alive. That's kind of one that I'm thinking that might go off to in a season 3 storyline. Yeah, Boren syndrome.
Yeah, but it wasn't really Boren syndrome that saved him. It was his Spartan augmentations.
Right.
The Boren syndrome was just a cover.
I mean, in the TV show, they could use that as the actual reason why we can't get infected by the Flood, or some variation thereof. Ackerson's small redemption at the end was an interesting take.
Still a jerk.
Oh, yeah. Through and through. Still acting in his own self-interest, especially after Perrin-Gosky tried to backstab him, and he's still looking out for his own skin, but at the same time...
When you're faced with the chief telling you that I'm going to pee you like a potato or you can do the right thing, I think I'd do the right thing.
In that instance, yeah.
You know, it's...
Kai being the Kurt of the Spartan Threes was interesting, and that was really rushed, too. Like, there was a whole...
Yeah.
See, like, talk about wrapping up Onyx in a freaking single episode.
Yeah, it's no joke. They pushed a lot in this season, especially in the second half of the season. There was a lot of stuff that was rushed.
The second half felt very rushed compared to the first.
Of course, in the series, the Spartan Threes were not kids, they were adults. But it doesn't seem like they got near the augmentation package that the Spartan 3s in the books got.
I don't think they really did. Or very minimal given the time frame of, especially see Mendez get into a Spartan 3 suit. It's like, okay, maybe some basic augmentations, but there is not near enough time.
But that's something else they've got in the series. You don't get a real good awareness of time passage. You know, they don't hit if two scenes are hours apart or days apart or months apart.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I would like them to kind of work in there, because that's kind of important for the story plots, to give some reference of time. Because the way the entire series played out, this is like, it feels like it was less than a week.
Yeah, it does. And for the sake of the time that transpired from when Reach fell to when Chief and Soren and everyone else got to Onyx, seemed like just days at the most by how the story was told. And aside from some of the outdoor scenes, every setting in like the second half of, throughout most of the second series, like, you knew you were on a set. It didn't feel like an actual world that you were on, or an actual living space, like with the Oni facility. I mean, to a certain extent, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a freaking Oni facility. You're going to be indoors with certain corridors, very militaristic style, sure. But the way the set design was, it's too clean to be believable. It's too enclosed. There's just something about how they did scene and set design in season two that, for the most part, it's like, okay, I know I'm on a set. I know I'm looking at a set instead of looking at what could be an actual believable real world environment type thing.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's because it's sci-fi, because there are plenty of other sci-fi series that it's like, no, it's, you see the scuffs and skid marks of like, okay, this is a used space. This is a living space. Whereas everything else was.
For an example, Star Trek, most of Star Trek's scenery, it is very clean. I mean, there's not wear marks on the carpet. There's not scuffs on the wall. But it still comes across as is a space that's been used. So, I mean, you can pull off the clean look. You just have to do it the right way.
Right.
It's like,
I don't feel like they did it the right way.
Yeah, they did. I don't know if it's just the way they did the lighting or what.
Yeah.
Like color in Star grading Trek, or lighting, you know, all the scenes in Star Trek, when you're on the ship, are usually they're very clean environments. I mean, they're not, you know, there's not crud in a corner or dirty buttons or fingerprints on screen, stuff like that. But on the same token, in the TV series, you had the same thing, but it was different. I don't know exactly. I don't know if it was just the way they lit the sets or what. It just didn't work. Didn't work well. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I don't know what happened with that. People in the chat are saying fight scenes were good. Fight scenes were a lot better in season two than they were in season one, hands down. They definitely improved from season one. There are still moments where you can tell, oh, that is CGI, but the fighting movements were a lot more fluid. They were a lot more believable in season two, especially when Chief was going up, or when anybody was fighting against the Covenant in any degree. The fight scene on the Arbiter ship, when the Sangheili that were on the Arbiter ship that were questioning what he was doing, whatnot, when they decided to attack, like all that stuff felt very fluid. It felt like it all actually was a lot more believable than season one. So lot of good stuff there. There are still parts of it that it's like, okay, this is CG. And it really stood out when they were on the Halo ring. Like, it was like, you know, they're in front of a green screen and you know that is CG. That is like, you could have put Halo Infinite as a background that would have been more believable than what they put in the Halo series, in my opinion. Like, it the color gradient of how they did that, it kind of matches the Halo 1 color palette a little bit, but the way they color graded it, it's like, it the colors are too vibrant and too contrasting to make it believe like this is a Earth-like Pacific Northwest region that's inside a Halo ring, like we've been made to believe in all the Halo games so far. Like, you take a look at Halo Infinite and all and what's in there, and that feels more believable of an environment I'm actually in than what you have in the Halo TV series. So, and it, the way things move around, it's like, you know, they're on the set, like that one pedestal in front of the one door. And that's where all this stuff takes place. It's not like in and around it or interacting with anything else. It's like, this is the set. This is the boundary. If there's anything that they can do to improve season 3, it's whatever they're doing with color grading or set design or whatever, that has got to improve. That I think that's my one picky takeaway from season 2 is just the how they film everything. Not necessarily the story, not the action, not all the other pieces. It's just how they set the scene and how they go about filming it. There's just something that does not sit well as a viewer for the TV show. Perrin Goski up to her old tricks with the spike thing. And when Ackerson found out, I was happy when it's like, oh, he found out, he went to go tell them immediately of what was going to happen. So yeah, he's a bit of a prick. He's still kind of selfishly looking out for himself, but hey, he did the right thing when it mattered. So a little bit of redemption for
a little bit
for TV show Ackerson. The way they did the flood outbreak, I thought was very unique with the TV show, where it's like people are going about their things and then they slowly kind of stop and convert as the flood's adapting and trying to take over the host. I thought that was really well done.
That was very flood-like.
Mm-hmm.
From everything that's been described with the flood, they did that very well. How it just slowly moved through the facility, and then it kind of all at once started changing people.
Yep. And it was all because of the one little sample that Miranda opened up, and then that one scientist was stupid and was the reason it spread. Like, Miranda was looking at it. She didn't get infected because she was smart about it.
Did you touch it? No? Can't bullshit?
Yep.
Yeah. When that line came out, I'm like, yeah, she did.
Yeah, the way the flood spread. While having the flood on Onyx was still a really weird choice in how everything got quickly implemented, they did the flood very well.
Yes, they did.
The TV series. They did that really well. I'm curious about what you said about Quan's possible greater role, because I'm either I haven't read the book yet and I'm not familiar with it, or...
Well, no, I mean, they're hinting that she has Forerunner lineage. Blah, blah, blah. Like, she could be a direct descendant of a Forerunner. The way she interacts with the Oracle, in other words, the monitor of the certain installation.
But is it really just a foreign descendant, or is it just a Geosh?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't know if it's something that the Forerunners implanted in humans that it just happens to be following that particular family line, or they're going with just some other path. It's just weird that her family has been interacting with these Forerunner constructs for thousands of years, and how she was...
Yeah, I don't know.
She
I
basically mean, looked at this puzzle and was able to figure it out to unlock the door that led to the flood. Great job, Quan.
Yeah, I... That's one mystery that's still, at least they've kept that a mystery and like kept us on our toes for it.
Or is it the opposite? Is it the Flood doing it?
Primordial.
Exactly.
Or the TV show's Primordial.
Because we know, yeah, I know we're crossing lines here, but.
Crossing the streams.
Don't cross the streams! No, because, I mean, in the established Halo lore, the precursors were, I'm not going to say immortal, but they're really hard to kill. And it's not impossible that they have been around this whole time.
Especially after reading Point of Light. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the things when you're dealing with the precursors and the Forerunners is they have both learned how to manipulate future events. So, like I said, it's which way is this going to go? Because we had that one moment where all of a sudden the Flood stopped attacking Quan.
Yeah. And whatever that protector lady from the first episode and right. Quan having visions.
It's like, where are these visions coming from?
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see where they take that storyline.
Gosh, that'd be wild if it was a precursor connection.
Yeah.
Cause that's still a big mystery, even in the official lore.
Mm-hmm. Like
precursors, Star Roads, the Primordial, all of that is still mostly a big mystery.
Yeah, for as much as we know, we don't know a whole lot.
And then it was a heartbreaker to see Soren's wife get infected.
Yeah.
It's like saw that coming, but it was just like that was kind of the tearjerk moment of the series was mm-hmm. after all that time of going to rescue
their son
coming all this way to find him and then her to get infected by the Flood. That sucks. And then Vanek's gone. Riz is gone. Kai and Chief are left.
Well, Chief's left. We're undetermined on Kai yet.
Right. Unknown at this point. How about Chief's eulogy of Vanek? Yeah, after he was convinced to actually give a damn about him.
Well, I think it was more to actually show that he did. You know, he'd been conditioned all his life to not think of people as people. You know, he's conditioned that people are machines and that they're expendable if need be. So.
Yeah, Riz is left behind. I'm pretty sure Kai is still alive. I thought we saw a scene with her still.
Yeah, we saw her floating in space, kind of like we saw yeah. Chief at the beginning of Halo Infinite.
That's right, yeah. So, Vanek's is the only one really gone.
Yeah, Vanek's the one that's dead. Kai is floating in space.
Whee! Chief is on the ring. Riz is mm-hmm. retired. Essentially, at this point. Cortana's back with Chief, and yeah, McKee and Chief are running into the ring with the monitor.
I find it interesting that last scene when you see Chief's helmet, it's like, what the hell has he been up to? Well, this to get between the time we see him go into the facility and the yeah. time he's talking to this monitor.
Yeah, that I was wondering what happened there. Because, like, okay, that makes sense. It would have been possibly from the fight with the Arbiter, but that's not.
What? His helmet was clean when he went in.
Well, it had the mark on it when he went in, but it didn't have the hole.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, for season two, it was all right. It's not. I think how they tried to cram so much into season two definitely detracted from the experience. Like I said before, the kind of the set design was still really weird. The progression of the story was good overall, where they took things and what they included with Ackerson, the Spartan 3s, Onyx, Visigrad Relay, getting the Halo ring in there. Like they're obviously they introduced all the important story beats, but it was just done in a very rapid manner, which
yeah, it was really rushed.
I don't know why, and I need to go maybe look into other TV series. But it seems like a lot of these video game adaptations are like 8-episode adaptations, when like TV seasons are supposed to be like at least 10 to 12 episodes for like a half season, or 20 to 26 for like a full year type of season. And it's like, why? And maybe things are just that much more expensive where there's fewer episodes, but it's just like, I feel like getting kind of cut short on some of these, and it's being forced to tell a quick story. Because even the Fallout series, which the Fallout series has been great so far, I feel like there's parts of that where it's been a little rushed. It hasn't been nearly as bad as Halo has been, in my opinion, but I just feel like these video game adaptations, with how few episodes there are and what they're trying to cram into them, is like, is it really just that expensive, or are they just really, has the video game adaptation still not quite gotten there for the confidence?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, what the deal is with the short season.
Because I feel like with the Spartan 3s, you could have taken a lot more time to kind of mature the Spartan 3 process and maybe make it up to where there's a little more understanding of what Ackerson did differently than Halsey. Like, expand a little bit more on what happened in the Ghost of Onyx book. Pull some of that in as far as... Because I mean, they even mention it in Series 2 that Ackerson is here to kind of replace Halsey and take over what she did. And we know from the books that what Ackerson did was basically he wanted to prove that he was better than Halsey. So he did this whole separate Spartan thing, and putting Kai there in place of Kurt in the books, I thought that was great. Like, when I saw that scene of Kai stepping into the room of Spartan 3, I was like, oh, I got excited. And then when they found out that, oh, it's just regular Marines who want to fight because they have no more cause, it's just in Spartan outfits.
Yeah. I would, like I said, if they would have stretched that over, I mean, even 15 episodes, I mean, they wouldn't have to go to, you know, a full 25 episodes or something like that for, you know, an entire season. But even like 12 to 15 episodes, if they'd stretched that storyline over that period, it wouldn't have felt so rushed. It's the fact that they crammed all that stuff really into 4 episodes.
And the nice thing about good TV series is that there are little, mostly insignificant, but kind of crucial side stories that help build character and help you relate to characters in the story and help you relate to the world that the story is in. It might not be pivotal to the main story arc that you're trying to tell, but it's supporting structures that really build upon the story. And I feel like we're just missing a lot of that. We got some of that in the first season because they were laying the initial groundwork, so there had to be some pillars for Quan to get stuff, and that's where we had the water mining. So we got her family backstory and we got her motivations. So like, it's been done, but there's a lot of what was introduced in season two where Ackerson was just in there and just offshoots. Like, there's no build up to his intents and motives like there was in Onyx. And it's like, we know why he's doing what he did. There's no real pillars to sit on for the reason why Oni was pulling Soren in. Like, that was kind of a anomalous, well, this is the reason, just to kind of inject him into the story without any real basis to pull him in. And there's just all these little kind of like, okay, this is here, but there's no supporting structure that really gives us a place to anchor on to help us right through the rest of the narrative. I feel like that's something that was definitely lacking in season two. And the SPI was good in person. That first opening scene when Kai walked into the room, it's like, oh, that is some bad CGI. That was really bad. Like that was nearly as bad as the last scene in season one of the last episode. Like, that bad of CG. That's what it felt like. They redeemed themselves a little bit with the in-person armor, like in the actual fights, but that room of supposed to be like the army of Spartan 3s, that was bad CG. I'm sorry, that was probably the worst scene in the entire second season.
Well, yeah, like I said, most of the problems I have with the TV series are mostly related to production, not to the story, other than the fact that they tried to cram too much into it.
Yeah, I would agree.
The most of the CGI was better this time. There were some exceptions.
Fight choreography was better.
Overall, it was better than it was in the first season. Because I tell you what, man, the elites just... Well, I don't know, man. Well, even in the second season, their heads seemed to be squished. Well, it wasn't so much the height, it was the depth. I mean, I've always seen the elites with a very long head, you know, from front to back. It's not very tall, but it's long. Well, now it's short and short, and it's a square, and it's, yeah. Walk like an Egyptian. It was better in season two. They still have short faces, which I don't know why they went that way, because their head just doesn't seem proportional to the body.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time I got to the last episode, I was kind of used to it, where it didn't bug me as much, but still. It pops in my head. I'm like, where's the rest of his face? Anyway.
The interaction between McKee and the Arbiter I thought was good throughout the entire series. McKee kind of feeling like she's losing her purpose, but also trying to keep the facade up with the Arbiter and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Cortana leading Chief through Onyx, I thought that was cool.
That was cool.
It's like, okay, this is the infiltration. And the way
he did it, this is great. He's walking into the hall, he's like, looking around. Oh, there. And yep. He just, you know, unlike Cortana was standing there just pointing him, he had to actually look for where he was going.
Yeah, and backing it off the signal of, she's supposed to report back to Kapara and Goski, and then, like, riding that back wave into the Oni facility to help Chief out. It's like,
that's Cortana.
Yeah. It's like, okay, that's a redeeming quality for Cortana for sure in the series. Yeah, I'm not sure what else there is to talk about other than maybe speculate what could be in season 3.
The Flood.
We know there's going to be more Flood. Whatever fallout from Onyx happens, there's probably going to be some touch points there. I doubt it's going to be a season that's exclusively focused on the Halo ring. It's going to be a vastly different story than any Halo story, like on a Halo that we're familiar with, especially with McKee and Chief running around. So it's like, okay, is it a race to the deciding cartographer? Is it a race to the library? Is it a race to the control room?
Well, I kind of wonder if it's going to be a battle on whether to fire the Halo ring or not because of the Flood.
I mean, I could see it being some kind of weird modification of Halo 2, because you had the Covenant racing the humans to get the index and get to the control room and everything. So some weird offshoot of that, as far as kind of tit for tat, or is it going to be three angles? Because you have McKee, who knows what McKee's ultimate goals are, really. Like, does she believe in the great journey now, or is she kind of wavering in her beliefs and realizes that she was kind of a pawn?
I think McKee's motivations as of right this moment, she just wants to build her own world. She doesn't believe in the great journey now, especially after what happened at the end of season 1.
Well, she kind of mentions that at the end of season 2 and talking with the Chief. It's like she wants to completely wipe out humanity and Covenant as it exists, because they're just going to be out to destroy each other.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think
current motivations, but what's going to be her motivations as they, and maybe they won't change throughout the next season, but it could be that and the Covenant and Chief all racing to destroy, activate, or stop the Halo. And in this universe, is this the only Halo?
I kind of wish the fight scene between the Arbiter and Chief was a little longer. It seemed pretty short, but it was good.
It was better than the Chief and Locke fight.
Oh, well, yeah, that's just...
Better than that. Quan's journey will be interesting, because that's still a big unknown of, like, what is her connection to that protector lady?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Gaosh, or is that something else?
Is like that something totally different?
Right. We've got the whole Oni and Spartan 3's and Kai side of things, and then obviously High Charity and that stuff. So we still got those two main things. I think the real kicker is going to be what's going to be that storyline of what's happening on the ring and then what's happening off the ring. And do we see Johnson get introduced into season 3? I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah, find a very special actor to do Johnson.
I feel like the second season did so much to wrap in concepts that the community really wanted to see because of all the other successful video game adaptations. Like, look, the game stuff can work. And like, yeah, like it can. I feel like they rushed so much stuff in that now we don't know what is going to happen next. It's like, because usually you have a cliffhanger. It's like, oh, you know what's going to happen in like the first episode of the next season. Right now, we're kind of standing at a cliff of like, well, we don't know what's on the other side.
Which way is this going to go?
There was so much happening towards the end of the season where, yeah, anyone can come up with a theory and it could be right. There's not.
Well, you know, it's kind of the TV version of the Halo 2 ending. What the f***? Finish the fight. What? What kind of ending is that?
I don't think it's as bad as that.
No, it's not. I said, you know, it's the TV version of it.
No, I mean, I don't think the Halo 2 ending was as bad as the season 2 ending.
Yeah.
Halo 2. Yeah. Halo 2 season 2. Yeah.
I don't know. The Halo 2 ending was pretty bad. I was really disappointed when I finally finished that on Legendary after going through Sniper Alley 1,700 times and getting, I'm here to finish the fight. What the hell?
But at least at the end of season 2, you had the sense of it's a foreigner ship and you're going to the Ark. So you have a direction of what's going to be happening next. It's figuring out what the Ark is and where it is. Like, you knew for sure that was what was after that part. Yeah. And that's what we got in Halo 3. Like, there is a logical next step after the end of Halo 2 of where the story is going. Where for the season 2, I don't feel like that there is any one specific angle other than, well, McKee and Chief are running into the Halo, and there's a whole fleet, there's a whole debris field outside the Halo ring of Oni and UNSC and Covenant. Okay. And the Flood.
The one thing I do hope for season 3 is they clean up the storylines a little bit and slow them down a little bit. I get they want to tell a lot of story, but I think they're trying to shove too much story in there.
Yeah, I really think they need to slow down and really work on support pillars and not necessarily just to bring lore into Peace fans and whatnot, but just to set pillars of what exists within the TV show. Being able to just have a foundation that viewers world can build. Latch onto and can, yeah, world build. Like I said before, there are lots of little side story or tidbits that happen that aren't necessarily crucial to the main story, but they help establish the world and characterize the world and make the world feel alive that hasn't been done in the Halo TV series that much. We got a little bit in season 1. We didn't get really a lot of it in season 2. Unfortunately.
Overall opinion, I enjoyed it. Looking forward to the next season.
It was okay. Like, it was a continuation. I'm still on board with it. I'm not like against it or like not going to watch the next season, but it definitely is like it's B, C grade TV. The only reason I'm really watching is because it's Halo. That's my only motivation for it. It's got good moments. It's got like the fighting was improved. Like, seeing the tie-ins was great, but not supporting the tie-ins well was kind of a bummer. It's like it fires off all those, oh, it's cool to see that, but just the substance is not really there.
So it's pretty much just like any other network TV show right now.
World building and all that, really. At least for me. That's where I sit with that. But there is a third season coming. We know that much. I don't think they've said anything past the third season, so it could be third season and done, or it could be third season and we'll see what happens. Regardless, I think by the end of the third season, it's going to be will the Halo fire, will it be destroyed, will it be stopped kind of thing. Yeah, we'll see. I think that's it for the night.
Yeah, I think I'll do it. I think I said all I wanted to say.
So next week, we'll be talking a little bit more about the next content update. We might talk about one of the Halo books. So either Point of Light or Shadows of Reach, since those are the two books I just recently finished. Oh, wanted to give a shout out to Accelerate. Just posted a video yesterday with his ongoing investigation in getting PC Halo Infinite working stable frame rate wise. And his latest video is almost kind of a cap end to all of the research that he's done with settings in Infinite, settings on your PC. And there are a couple of things that he called out that I changed on my computer and I tested out today, and I had a smooth 60 frames a second. I was even able to up my graphical fidelity for most everything onto high. There's a couple of things that have medium, some things ultra, but I'm pretty much at high now, where I was pretty much a hybrid of low, medium, and high before, and now I'm at a solid 60 frames a second. And there was only one time I had any kind of frame glitch, and that was when it had a shroud, an explosion, a rocket explosion, grenade explosion, hard light stuff going across the screen. And that was my only blip through the entire playthrough, and I played for about an hour today on my PC. If you're having problems on PC, or if you have not really tried PC because of stability quirks, go watch Accelerate's latest video. His community has done a lot of work to figure this out. I think they finally cracked the code on how to get PC stable. So it feels a lot better on PC now. I will probably start playing on PC now a little bit more than Xbox. I have to go and actually match my controller settings on Xbox to PC because they don't synchronize for some reason. Don't know why. And I'm going to try to play on PC a little bit more. Maybe start actually trying mouse and keyboard again so I can start getting that. But yeah, thank you, Accelerate, for doing all that work with your community, because now I can actually play Halo Infinite on my PC and it's finally freaking stable.
Oh, and I'd also like to thank him for not being a total jerk when he stomped his and captured a flag last week.
We were only down by... it was Slayer.
No, it was Flag. It was Strongholds.
I thought it was Slayer on that one map that had the really tall pillars. Oh, there was another time that we joined him, and it was the BTB map with the really tall pillars.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were only behind them by 3 points all the way up until 50, and then something changed, and they just beat us by like 25 points.
Yeah, when I was playing, we were doing an objective. But anyway, we made them work for it.
To Accelerate.
We did make them work for it, but that's about all we did.
As long as we can prevent them from doing a stake-tacular or a full 3-0 sweep or whatever, we've done our job. Thank you all for listening and watching, if you're watching us on Twitch. GT will be back tomorrow. I should be here as well for Fraggin' Friday, hopping on some Infinite, and we should be back next week for maybe a book show. Haven't quite decided yet. Probably a little combination of talking about the latest content update in the book show. But thank you all. We appreciate everyone who supports us, and we will catch you all tomorrow for game night or next week for the podcast. Thank you for listening to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You can find our podcast on your favorite podcasting service and listen to us live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Check out our website, podtacular.com, and join the community on Discord at podtacular.com/discord. If you want to play Halo with us, come join us for Fraggin' Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Become a supporter of the show by sharing the show with your friends and family. or help keep the lights on by subscribing to us on Twitch, donating via PayPal, or becoming a patron alongside Confal, Pins Halo, and Prestige Ace. Until next time, keep on fragging trucks.